Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to Radio Free Readout. Thank you for tuning in. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, the Sunday evening podcast. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for tuning in wherever you may be. Thank you for following us on Facebook.com/Radio Free Readout and weighing in on some of the discussions where we post events, announcements, news stories, and other things of interest throughout the day. Every day of the week. And I want to thank the partisans for stepping up and helping out with that social media effort. Also, this week, the last 2 weeks, I've been covering for Matt Shea on Patriot Radio. And that was an honor. It was a privilege to be able to do that and sit in for him. We had some great guests, some great discussions. And I know, several of you did make your way over there and listen this week on Patriot Radio. But I wanted to share something with you, and I'm going to re-air the discussion. I wouldn't even say an interview. It wasn't really an interview. We had a guest on, James Wesley Rawls, who is the one who conceptualized and articulated the American Redoubt and put a call out for what has turned out to be the American Redoubt movement. Now, this was something that was already underway without him. People were already moving to the conservative regions to escape different areas and moving into Montana and Wyoming. Wyoming was one of the number two contender for the Free States Project based on its laws, its freedom, liberty, and its cost of living and a number of factors. So Eastern Washington and Eastern Oregon as well are extremely conservative. Inland Pacific Northwest areas where people are moving to. But the American Redoubt has just come under attack by the left, who are just now realizing something's afoot. So they're on a campaign to try to marginalize it and demonize it. They're talking about you. They're talking about regular people who see what's happening in our country and have prayerfully made a decision to strategically relocate. And the left does not like this. They do not like any effort, any concerted effort, any mass movement of conservative Christian patriot citizens. It will come under attack. They want us to be disjointed, unorganized. And the American Redoubt really is unorganized in the sense that there's no board of directors of the American Redoubt. It is very unofficial. This is just something that's happening and they can't put their finger on it. It's driving them crazy. They don't even know what it is, but they don't like it. So we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to re-air the discussion that James Rawls and I had when I was sitting in for Matt Shea. This was from earlier this week. And I want to share some things with you. First of all, I also want to remind you that T-Rex is coming up. Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise 2016, a chance for you to turn the light switch off, turn the power off to your house, practice living off-grid, practice cooking with the food that you have stored up, using alternative methods and means, put your plan into practice. And that's also going to include communications training for you to be able to tune in and listen to news updates and things like that. More is going to be uploaded to the T-Rex 2016 page at amron.com. So continue to follow that. Now let's get into the news and commentary. Brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. The Islamic State group leader N. Islamic State group leader urges attacks in Europe and the U.S. This just came out today. So renewed calls for attacks. An Islamic State group spokesman has urged sympathizers in Europe and the U.S. to launch attacks on civilians, if they are unable to travel to the group's self-declared caliphate in Syria and Iraq. In a 31-minute audio message released late Saturday, yesterday, by the Islamic State media arm Al-Furqan, Abu Muhammad al-Adnani told his followers that, quote, "The tiniest action you can do in the heart of their land is dearer to us than the biggest actions by us. There are no innocents in the heart of the lands of the Crusaders." So they can kill men, women, children, babies, does not matter. None of them are innocent in these people's minds. He encourages lone wolf attacks during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which is expected to start early next month, to win the great reward of martyrdom. And if they want to be martyrs, then I think that obliges, we're obliged to make sure that they are martyrs, not that we are martyrs. Earlier tonight, and just wrapping up over at Truth in Love Ministries, the church there in the Spokane Valley, they hosted a speaker that is, her name is Heidi Mund. She is here in the American Redoubt from Germany to talk about what this Islamic invasion has done to her country and to Europe, warning us that this is what's coming for us in our future if we allow it. She's taken incredible heat. She's been called an extremist, an Islamophobe, a xenophobe, hate, bigoted, everything else that they've pinned across her when she stood up when they were holding Islamic prayers in a Christian church. She stood up and rebuked it. She and her husband have been under extreme attack. Tomorrow night, Monday night, the Spokane County Constitutional Republicans are hosting her presentation again in the Spokane Valley. We've got information up on social media to talk about this very real threat. Now, in national news, and this ties into what we're talking about, there's an article that came out. Many of you have seen it. It just made it to the Drudge from the Washington Post. It's titled, "Primed to Fight the Government. A fast-growing U.S. movement armed with guns and the Constitution sees a dire threat to liberty." Primed to fight the government. This is actually for the Washington Post. This is about as objective as you can expect from them. I was actually surprised to see the main person they featured in this, BJ Soper. They actually covered him doing community involvement, volunteer work, and what he does for a living. They really humanized him, showed him with his family and family time, and just talked about their values and their concerns. So they did show that, but it starts off, BJ Soper took aim with his AR-15 semi-automatic rifle and fired a dozen shots at a human silhouette target. Soper's wife and their 16-year-old daughter practiced drawing pistols. Then Soper helped his 4-year-old daughter in pink sneakers and a ponytail work on her marksmanship with a .22 caliber rifle. What's interesting, well, we'll get to that in a minute. I was going to say the comments below. These people are crazy. They don't understand what the Second Amendment's about, blah, 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 blah. You can't care what somebody from New York thinks about you training your family to be self-reliant and to be proficient with firearms. That is your duty. That is your responsibility, regardless of what some troll from some liberal infested place has to say or think about it. The article says, deep in the heart of a vast U.S. military training ground, surrounded by spent shotgun shells and juniper trees blasted to shreds, the Central Oregon Constitutional Guard was conducting its weekly firearms training. Weekly! That's awesome. The intent is to be able to work together and defend ourselves if we need to. said Soper, 40, a building contractor who's an emerging leader in a growing national movement rooted in distrust of the federal government, one that increasingly finds itself in armed conflicts with authorities. All right, there's a reason why it is this movement is A, growing, and B, is rooted in distrust of the federal government. Because most of this has come online since our government, when everybody was minding their business and raising their families and praying and reading the Constitution and being concerned about issues, but otherwise being productive citizens, the government decides, above all else, constitutionalists, right-wing people are a domestic terror threat. That made everybody sit up and go, huh? Yeah, you over there, you bricklayer, you drywaller, you truck driver, you have a pocket constitution, you're an extremist. You believe in traditional marriage, you're an extremist. If you think that the states should exert their sovereignty and headship over the federal government, you're an extremist. If you fly a Gadsden flag, you're an extremist. Don't let us catch you with a Confederate flag. Those in the movement call themselves patriots. Let's hope so. Demanding that the federal government adhere to the Constitution. Oh, the extremism. Patriots demanding the federal government adhere to the Constitution and stop what they see as systematic abuse of land rights, gun rights, freedom of speech, and other liberties. They list this out as an indictment. But this is exactly what people, there should be more people calling themselves patriots. More people should be demanding that the federal government adhere to the Constitution and stop systematic abuses of land rights, gun rights, freedom of speech, and other liberties. Joe Robertson, was a 77-year-old disabled veteran, is facing 15 years in prison because he built a pond on his own property that he had a permit for contaminating the waters with soil that they offered no proof that he had did, and two independent reports clearly shows there was no contamination of United States waters, that they did not admit that evidence into court. The U.S. Forest Service provided no evidence whatsoever that any contamination had taken place, and they talked about what could have happened, what probably happened, what could have happened, what we believe happened, with no evidence to support it. Now he faces 15 years. You don't think that that's a systematic abuse? Land rights? Law enforcement officials call them dangerous, delusional, and sometimes violent. No, a few law enforcement officials, as in the politician portion of law enforcement, and the boots on the ground are starting to call them dangerous, delusional, and sometimes violent, because that's what the Southern Poverty Law Center ilk is coming in as subject matter experts and so-called extremist watchdogs, briefing our law enforcement and our military on what we face as threats. And they're pointing to right-wing extremists, just like the ones we just listed. Homeschooling moms, if you're against abortion, returning veterans. They say that their numbers are growing amid a wave of anger at the government that has been gaining strength since 2008, a surge that coincided with, check this, this movement of growing people, that growing movement of people that are angry, is a surge that's coincided with the election of the first black U.S. president. That has nothing to do with it. The color of his skin has nothing to do with it. The content of his character is what's angering people. He's a communist. He's not black. He's not white. He's red. Soper started his group, which consists of about 30 men, women, and children from a handful of families, 2 years ago as a defensive unit against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, is that another indictment? Is that a bad thing? Is that a vice? Because doesn't the oath say that you will fight to protect the Constitution and your country against all enemies, foreign and domestic? But when someone who calls themselves a patriot states that they're going to defend their country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, this is part of an article about extremism. Mainly, he's talking about the federal government, the article writes, which he thinks is capable of unprovoked aggression against its own people. His concerns are not unfounded, by the way. The group's members are drywallers, flooring contractors, nurses, painters, high school students who stockpile supplies, practice survival skills, and basic infantry tactics, learn how to treat combat injuries, study the Constitution, and train with their concealed handguns and combat-style rifles. They just described the people who founded this country and the day-to-day lives that they led, except it wasn't drywallers and flooring contractors. It was butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers. They practice survival skills. They practice treating the wounded. They stockpiled supplies under the direction of pastors who were telling them to start stockpiling. Mostly what they were stockpiling was ball and powder and basic infantry skills. They studied not just the Constitution, because they did have a Constitution at that time, but it was one under the king. They studied their Bibles. They trained with their rifles. Now, this other story is going to take us into this discussion with James Rawls. By the way, if you're training with your family, if you're training with those in your community, you're doing the exact same thing that those founders of our country did and that the pastors urged them to do. And they didn't need much urging because it was part of their lifestyles. That's part of our heritage. Returning to that is not a vice. Do not let them make you feel like you're doing something wrong because you're a self-reliant patriot, aware and awake, as we're supposed to be, of the dangers that we face in the way of losing liberties and our country being changed fundamentally. This article that came out this week, the Redoubt Movement, helps push North Idaho politics to the extreme right. In Idaho's northernmost legislative district, Republican Party politics has been pulled further to the right in recent years with the rise of the Tea Party, but now a new element is pushing the party farther still with the arrival of conservative Christian preppers fleeing more populated states who see the region as a redoubt, a place to settle and defend themselves when the whole country goes bad. Okay, so this left-wing paper is attacking people for being Christian, right-wing conservatives that are strategically relocating to the American Redoubt for all the right reasons. I mean, they identified it, partially identified what the American Redoubt is and who's moving here. But then everything is about maligning the Christian patriots that are relocating here. And they're calling them extremists. And this is the whole part of the article here. They're pushing the politics further to the right to the extreme. But are they? Because what they're doing is stopping the pull to the left. So the narrative is that they're trying to push everything to the extreme right. Just holding your ground is extreme now. But they're claiming something that isn't so. Nobody's pushing things back to the right. Things are already to the right. They're just shoring things up so they cannot be pulled from the right over to the left, the extreme left. Let me give you a little kind of an allegory or a parallel. This is like you owning property, and there's your boundary markers and there's your fence. Your neighbor comes over and he moves the property boundary markers 10 feet in to your property. He just basically takes 10 feet and you protest. And when you protest, he says, "Why are you such a land grabber? Why are you so greedy? Why are you hoarding so much land?" Now you move the boundary stakes and your fence back to the line. Now he takes you to court suing you. And the judge rules that you are being unreasonable. After all, you have 6 acres and he has 5. Now pretty soon the media starts running stories about you having 6 acres, your neighbor having only 5, so why do you need to move the fence back 10 feet, trying to take from someone else? Why are you being so unreasonable and extreme, moving boundary markers and placing hardship on someone else by taking 10 feet of property line from him? And of course, you argue those boundaries have been in place since your grandfather owned that land. And your community, the trolls on the internet, the media articles, they start calling you a wacko who doesn't realize that granddaddy's standards are outdated and you're completely unreasonable. You're trying to change things around here and being confrontational. And that's exactly what's happened when you have an area that is conservative, mostly Christian, right wing. That means to the right of center. That means we believe in less government, but we do not believe in no government. We believe that government is instituted by God, and there is a standard for government. The government is supposed to protect. It's very clear our government's role, and that is to protect the rights of the citizens. But it's the government that's actually encroaching on those rights, allowing the left to encroach and fundamentally change who we are. They're trying to redefine who we are. This is when Obama says, you know, people that just, they don't want to, you know, sell flowers to homosexuals. That's just not what America is. That's not what we stand for. Said who? Just him, just right then. He's making stuff up. He's redefining who we are as we go. So when people try to redefine the American Redoubt or the Texas Redoubt or the Appalachian Redoubt, or the Cumberland Plateau or the Adirondacks, which are very fundamentally conservative areas, Missouri, very extremely conservative. They call you extremist when you haven't moved. You still believe in the same things that your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, all the way back to the founding fathers of this country believe in. You refuse to move to the left, to cross over the line and go to the extreme left, and you're the extremist. When a generation ago, you were mainstream. This was normal. Now, if you're what was normal 45 years ago, you're an extremist. All right. Anyway, it's a good discussion for those of you who did not listen over at Patriot Radio when I was filling in for Matt this week. We're going to have this discussion coming up with James Wesley Rawls right after The Eye on the Economy. Thanks for listening, guys. God bless. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too.
$123 billion of our debt has been sold back to us worldwide. $123 billion. And yet the U.S. government still thinks that all this can be solved and managed. The world is losing faith in this quickly, and all the next president can do is think of just to print our way out of it. Nothing good can come of this. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. Zion the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. You know those mornings when you could barely move until you've had that first cup of coffee? Oh, I sure do. But you know what the worst is? Terrible, stale coffee. I hate stale coffee. That stuff in the can is the absolute worst. Now, it's part of our food storage, but imagine if you could change that. Imagine if every morning you get up and have fresh roasted beans. How wonderful that would be. You know what? You can do that. And you can do that by going to my sponsor's website, SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. They provide great, and I mean great, coffee. Their green, unroasted, or roasted beans are perfect for your food storage needs. I do not want to imagine a future where I have to wake up every day and trudge through life with bad coffee. It may seem like a small thing in the grand scheme, but it'll be the little things that will help us put on our boots every day and get out there for our families. Go buy your coffee today and get it into your food storage right away. That's SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Two sisters and an amazing coffee. SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Well, welcome back. Well, billions of dollars of our treasuries are being sold back to us worldwide, and the pace is picking up rapidly. What do I speak of? Well, again, that is the sale of our U.S. treasuries. That's the debt that other countries hold for us. Remember what I said last week about Trump and how the world leaders are probably on the phone figuring out what to do? Well, in CNN, yes, CNN Money article this week, they detailed out the rapid sale of U.S. treasuries from January to March of this year, and it totals $123 billion. Major players like Russia, China, and Brazil have all sold major levels of their treasury holdings. Now, CNN does claim that the sales are to soften the blow of the global shutdown, but they are only half right. The other half is what CNN isn't telling you. Everyone is running for the exit. They see they'll have to deal with Trump or Hillary in the White House come November, and that scares the crap out of them. And it should you too. After all, this is the fastest pace of U.S. debt sell-off by global banks since at least 1978, and that's according to the Treasury Department data published on last Monday afternoon. Now, like any good mainstream media outlet, CNN went out and found some talking heads to weigh in on this, and of course, experts like Gus Faucher over at PNC Financial say that the sales are to prop up the currencies of other nations, mainly China. Again, half-right answers. Now, between December and February, China's bank sold off $236 billion to help support its currency, which China is slowly letting become more controlled by the markets and less controlled by the government. Now, in March, China did sell $3.5 billion in U.S. Treasury bonds, but we still don't know about April and May yet. The reckoning for our poor choices is about to become to reality. I would safely estimate that as we get closer to November, we are going to see record amounts of U.S. Treasuries get sold, and as our friendly neighbors begin to prepare for a world where the U.S. economy begins to go into freefall. And in November, I warn you, be ready as well. In other U.S. news, the nation's largest pension fund for truckers will reduce its benefits or go broke by 2025. The Central States Pension Fund, which handles the retirement benefits for current and former Teamster Union trucking drivers, applied for the reduction under law last week. Currently, the plan pays out $3.46 in pension benefits for every $1 it receives from employers. That's a rate of $2 billion annually. Ladies and gentlemen, I just can't talk because I'm so flabbergasted about what I read here. The plan filed for 60% cut in pensions. Now, the Treasury Department does have the final say, but the verdict came in on the 21st said that cuts, quote, are not deep enough. The Central States Pension Fund has no new plan to avoid insolvency. Now, this is coming from Director Thomas Nyan, and he said this week that he was advised that without government funding, the fund will run out of money in 10 years, he said. Then, to leverage the fear, he sent a letter out to all plan recipients that if they are not helped by the government, all of its 407,000 people who are benefiting, their pensions were reduced to virtually nothing. Well, that's true, but he was just stirring the pot there. In a last-ditch effort, the Central States Pension Plan sought government approval to partially reduce its pensions to currently 115,000 retirees and the future benefits for 155,000 workers. The proposed cuts were steep, and again, it was 60% for some, but evidently it wasn't enough. Earlier this month, the Treasury Department rejected the plan because it found it would not actually head off insolvency. You gotta love socialism at its best, folks. Normally, when a multi-employer fund like Central States runs out of money, a government insurance fund called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, or the PBGC, kicks in so that retirees will still receive some type of benefit. Now, folks, are we seeing a trend here? 2025, the same year Social Security would go insolvent. Any connection there? I don't know. Well, will we make it? Unlikely. There's way too much time for big pension funds that are required to do a 60% cut. It's going to happen a lot before then. People are going to starve and riot before that point. Folks, we are almost ready for game time here. We have the political leg of the stool about to crack. We have a world economic puzzle falling to pieces, and the moral fiber of this country is out the window. We are ripe for the picking. Like any past civilization, the dependence on paper currency has killed us and driven us to a place where we cannot return from. It's time to start hunkering down. Well, thanks again for listening this week, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Okay, this is segment two here at Radio Free Readout. If you are joining us late, we're having a discussion with James Wesley Rawls from Survival Blog, and this was from Patriot Radio earlier this week, and many of the Radio Free Readout listeners didn't get a chance to listen, so I just wanted to share that with you. This segment, segment two, is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Go to selkirkmountainrealestate.com to learn how you can find the right property for you to get strategically relocated to the northernmost panhandle of the state of Idaho. All right. Back to the discussion with James Wesley Rawls. We're going to bring a guest on here that many of you are already familiar with. This is something that's, there is a demographic shift taking place. There is a demographic group that is strategically relocating to better their lives and plan for a better future. I'm not talking about the issue on our southern border. I'm not talking about the Muslim so-called refugees that are coming to the United States. I'm talking about God-fearing, liberty-loving, patriotic Americans who cherish our heritage, our values. They are strategically relocating to different conservative pockets throughout the United States. That movement, which we're going to hear from someone who I really look up to, and he really is the inspiration for me starting Radio Free Readout, the inspiration for many people making the decision to take the gap, to move, to strategically relocate, seeing what's happening in our country. That move is called the American Redoubt. And a redoubt is a safe haven, a fallback position, a defensible place where those you and yours can gather. That has just recently come under attack. It's been around for, what, 5 years, and it's been growing and building momentum, but it's been under the surface. Well, it's starting to get the attention of those on the left, and they're scared. This is scaring the daylights out of them. The American Redoubt, we're going to reference this article here in just a little bit. It came out in the Spokesman, and this is not the first article. There's a staunch conservative grassroots leader, very effective, Brent Regan over in Kootenai County, who received a scathing rebuke for his actions fighting for liberty, fighting for those values and our heritage and the things that we care about, pushing back against the liberal anti-American agenda. Now, there's another article that came out in the Spokesman Review. This has been spread to these, if you want to call them newspapers, increasingly left-wing. I remember 20 years ago when people would write in to the Spokesman Review, there was a few, not that many, but in the Coeur d'Alene Press from liberals saying, "We can't believe you guys. You're just a bunch of shills for the extreme right-wing group of people, right-wingers." That has shifted. Now, it is completely dominated by an anti-American agenda. So this article, written by Betsy, good old Betsy, Betsy's back. "The Redoubt movement helps push North Idaho politics to the extreme right." Okay, first of all, the Redoubt movement is not Idaho. It is Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Eastern Oregon, and Eastern Washington. Already inherently conservative areas. I mean, they are very, well, what the left calls ultra-conservative. But see, ultra-conservative to them means you're centrist. But see, we're not centrist. We're actually to the right of center. Now, let me give you a little lesson here. When we're talking about the political spectrum, all the way to the right is anarchy, no government. All the way to the left is totalitarian communism. It is absolute government control. The founding fathers were to the right of center. In fact, some of them were quite a bit farther to the right of center. Now we have those individuals that are calling those that are centrists the right wing. And if you are to the right of center, you are extreme, if that makes sense. So we are extreme. So in this article, she says, "The Idaho's northernmost legislative district, Republican Party politics, has been pulled farther to the right in recent years with the rise of the Tea Party. But now a new element is pushing the party farther still. The arrival of conservative Christian, quote, preppers fleeing more populated states who see the region as a redoubt, a place to settle and defend themselves when the whole country goes bad." Okay, first of all, what if that was the whole story? What if that was the complete message? What's wrong with that? First of all, it's not accurate. But what if it was? My answer is, so what? Actually, and this is not even true. The American Redoubt, the conservative, God-fearing, liberty-minded people that are strategically relocating here are just shoring up the numbers because the left is on the march. They are not just saying it's okay for us in the San Francisco Bay Area
to go way left wing and godless. And you guys have a conservative culture over there, and this is our culture over here. They will seek out and hunt down anyone who does not embrace their twisted culture. And if you do not, and if you want to move away from that because you don't want your children subjected to that, because you don't want heavy taxes, heavy regulation, an anti-gun agenda, an anti-Bill of Rights all the way across the board, less and less freedom, less liberty, where people want to be self-reliant. Somehow that is extreme. Somehow that's a bad thing. And they're targeting it. You know why? Because there is a movement afoot to strengthen the already conservative right wing. And they're not pushing the politics to the right. They're holding their ground and keeping the left from pulling the politics further to the left. So if you put up resistance and refuse to allow them to pull you to the left, then you are the extremist pushing things to the right. At least that's their narrative. And it's a false one. It's a lie. Don't believe it. And we're going to talk about the man who coined the phrase American Redoubt. I believe we've got him on the line. James, you there?
Yes, I'm here, John.
Outstanding. Okay, thank you, sir. We had a little bit of technical difficulties there, but we got through it. And, well, we wouldn't be resilient, self-reliant people if we couldn't work through problems like that anyway, right? So that was a good test.
That's right. And it always pays to have redundant comms.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. If you guys are not familiar with James Wesley Rawls, he is what I consider a mentor of mine. I really look up to. He's an author of a book, Patriots, A Novel of the Coming Collapse. That's his flagship work. And from there, he's written several since then. We'll probably talk about those. He's best known for that book, Patriots. And then also, he's the senior editor over at survivalblog.com. He's also a former Army intelligence officer. And it's just a pleasure to have him on. James, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, we were just talking about, just kind of took off without you there, the American Redoubt movement. Before we go any further, I think you're the right person to have defined this before we start allowing those on the left, those that are scared of it, they have a freedom phobia, constitutional phobia. Let us define it for the people that are being lied to by those that are trying to define the American Redoubt movement for us.
Well, sure. In a nutshell, the American Redoubt movement is simply a political migration movement that's intended to consolidate what is already a very conservative region that consists of Eastern Oregon, Eastern Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Those states and portions of states were designated as kind of a safe haven for conservative Christians and Jews as a kind of a stronghold, and that's why I use the term redoubt, a place where people will feel comfortable with traditional values.
Well, some people have a problem with these traditional values. They've recoined a new phrase, you know, right-wing extremism. That's what, you know, that's synonymous with conservative American heritage and, you know, Judeo-Christian values. They're in the business of redefining our language anyway, so it
right.
shouldn't come as any surprise.
Yes, but it hardly comes as a surprise. They basically everything that Americans have held near and dear for generations, they are trying to systematically destroy. They are chipping away at our moral underpinnings. They are chipping away at our traditions, our language, our borders, our customs, our values. All of that is considered fair game for the statist collectivists. And one of their favorite methods is to redefine the language, redefine terms, and to all in all, make that which is good appear evil.
And that which is evil to appear good.
Right.
And if you don't adopt this new good, the old evil, then you're an extremist or intolerant or full of hate.
Right.
And I've never seen a more hateful group of people than the left.
They've basically attempted to cast us all into the same bucket as anti-Semites, as fascists, Nazis, racists, bigots. They want to try to make everyone who represents conservative traditional values look synonymous with the true extremists. We're not extreme at all. What's extreme is what's going on to our culture right now with their attempted destruction of our culture.
Yeah, it is amazing. I talked about this on Tuesday when this article first broke. And if you look into the comments section under the article, that is very telling about how easily the masses are duped, how incapable they are of thinking for themselves, to embracing this the accusatory tone that conservative Christian-minded people that believe in a traditional American values want to congregate together. Is some, they read it off as an indictment, like as if it's a vice, something bad that people want to come here to homeschool.
Look at the way they've redefined the term patriot and redefined the term constitutionalist. They've turned those both into descriptions of pure evil. And if they will stoop to that level, then virtually no word in the English language is safe.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we have those that are, I mean, some people, if they knew the truth, they would be furious to realize how they've been lied to. Like by this woman, Betsy, the great Betsy, raised her head, wrote this article, and has duped so many people that don't realize it. The rest of them are useful idiots that will go along with anything that's fed to them.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership, not President Obama, us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership, and it's going to come from us.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com. This is segment 3 on Radio Free Readout. Thanks for listening. Segment 3 is sponsored by Patriot-owned business, Katie Armor, C-A-T-I, as in come and take it. Come and take it. Katie Armor. Go to katiearmor.com. They have regular body armor, soft body armor with front plates, back plates, and side plates, and plate carriers, and much more. Check them out at katiearmor.com. This is where we need to really, I guess, strengthen our leaders or potential leaders. For example, there was a gentleman running for, he lost this week in the election, Glenn Rohrer. When interviewed, he starts backpedaling and says, "Oh, I'm not part of the American Redoubt movement." And this is what made me laugh. He says, "I'm a conservative constitutional Republican, and my opponent is not. I'm not part of the American Redoubt movement." Now, my question is, and this, I started laughing when I read this. I'm like, you are part of the American Redoubt movement if you don't know it. And here's the thing. If you're not, why not? Because the people that are moving here, strategically relocating, prayerfully deciding to uproot their businesses, their families, or their lives and relocate here for the reasons that we've outlined, they are counting on the leaders here to keep up the fight against this leftist extremism and government supremacy until they get here.
They're counting on these guys to be part of the American redoubt.
Right. And it's noteworthy that his opponent in that race, the incumbent, had been in office for something like 35 years.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, John, but I'm of the opinion that anyone who spends 35 years in political office is more likely than not going to become corrupted, either corrupted by the feeling of being in power or literally being corrupted with money being stuffed into their pockets. And I would say it would even be difficult for Mother Teresa to spend 35 years in a legislative position and not feel some sort of degradation of the hard line on what it means to be a true representative of the people. Once someone has been in office that long, they no longer look at their office as a representative position. They look at it as a power position.
Yeah, that's how her supporters are arguing why she should stay there, because now have somebody sitting on this committee.
Right?
Pardon?
Because she holds key committee positions in the assembly,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Precisely. That was their argument. We haven't had somebody in that kind of a position from our county before. Why would we let all that go? Because she worked so hard to build our roads. And
oh, boy. Well, I'm glad that there are some people out there who take the high ground and who look at things from the big picture. Mm-hmm. And Glenn Rohr, I think, is the type of candidate that's needed in the American redoubt. And
yes.
As time goes on, I think there'll be more and more that stand up just like him. And eventually, I think we will see some political change, and some of the entrenched political elites, like the North Idaho PAC, which is a Republican Political Action Committee,
yeah.
are going to find themselves losing ground. Because fighting for political influence based on party politics is passé. It would be like someone trying to fight second or third generation warfare when we're in the fourth generation warfare era.
Yes, absolutely. And to your point about the level of corruption, of course, it deepens each year. And with each run, we pulled Sean Keogh's, the one that we're talking about, has been embedded for so long, deeply entrenched, I should say. Her donors, it's a stack of lobbying organizations that dumped a ton of money to make sure that she could stay in place. And
right.
all these lobbyists, these lobbying groups, they're based out of Boise. This is not the same interests as the people in Boundary County, and they've been duped. But here's the problem, and this is what I've been working so hard to overcome. I don't know how to overcome this, except just to lay it at the Lord's feet. We had a voter turnout of 22.6%.
That's
in the ultra-conservative, people that care and they love conservative values, 22.6% makes me want to throw my hands in the air and say, you guys get, you deserve exactly what you got coming if you don't care that much.
Yes, if people can't even be bothered to vote, they certainly are not in a position to complain at the results.
Well, many of them, and this is another thing we've tried to overcome, because so many people come here fired up from say, California or Seattle, and they say, you guys don't understand what's coming. It's on its way here. What we just came from, you guys got to get in the fight. But the response is a giant yawn, because you have freedom freeloaders here that are just enjoying the heck out of how free and great it is here, but they don't. They just don't understand that it is coming or what is coming, but
yes,
they do complain.
If you look at the coastal politics, unfortunately, that's kind of a glimpse of what it's going to be like throughout the inland Northwest in another 10 or 15 years if people don't wake up, because the same vested interests, the same lobbyists, the same outside political influence by means of campaign donations and PAC money are going to begin to rule just the way they're ruling in Olympia and all up and down the coast. It's just, unfortunately, it's the Californication of the inland Northwest. And the level of political sophistication really needs to be raised so that people are ready for this onslaught, because it is coming. Just look at Michael Bloomberg and his attempt at influence here in the redoubt.
Yeah,
that's money coming from 3,000 miles away, and it's being thrown at state assembly level positions. So beware, folks. There's a move afoot, and unless we organize and unless we're very vigilant, we are going to see our local politics subsumed by national interests.
Another thing, too, is that we have this demographic shift that is strategic in nature, both on the Islamic front and the South Central American front, dissolving our borders, which is what the globalists want anyway. And so they want anyone who wants closed borders to embrace this migration of this demographic group, because they're only trying to better themselves and make choices for their families that they feel is best, and how could you blame them? But when conservative, Christian, American, patriotic people have a strategic demographic shift, they attack it.
Right. They panic, because when they see people vote with their feet, they realize that it will cause a political sea change. And I think that change has already taken place, but it just hasn't fully crystallized.
Yeah.
When I came up with the American Redoubt concept, 5 years ago, it was more or less a kind of an automaton, in that it has no outside direction, it has no political action committee. There is no, cabal behind the scenes. It was just one guy, me, my idea that I articulated, and I basically set it in motion. And it's become kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And at this point, there are so many people moving into the region that I think it's unstoppable. And the net result will be a much more libertarian, conservative, and Christian region when all is said and done. And the number of conservatives that are moving in has far more than outstripped the number of liberals that are moving in.
Yeah.
So the war has already been won. The demographic shift is already in place, and it's just a matter now of having that movement crystallize. And it's almost like the Tea Party movement, in that it was amorphous. It was not, very strictly defined. It had no strict leadership. It was just more of a truly grassroots movement. And it's turned into Tea Party committees all over the United States. And I think the same thing will happen with the American Redoubt region. And even though there is no formal political movement, informally, it can't be stopped.
That's right. And that's not to say that's the only place that a conservative Christian patriot can move to. There's also an exodus of people that are moving out of these overrun places and into the Appalachians. And the term the Appalachian Redoubt has
right.
taken hold. The Adirondacks, believe it or not, in New York and upstate.
Redoubt-type presence in Tennessee, in eastern Tennessee.
Yes.
In the plateau country there, where there's large numbers of people moving in, and a lot of them are, they're those darn Yankees, but guess what? They're conservative Christian Yankees, and they're actually, once people get to know them, they are very well accepted, because they're recognized as being like-minded.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of folks. I mean, I hear from them all the time. We're praying about this. We feel this strong urge to relocate to the redoubt. We're trying to sell our home and please keep up the fight because there's nowhere else to go to. And this is what I hear from everyone. And it really is interesting. And I believe you've noted the same thing. How many immigrants came to America saying, you guys are letting what I just fled happen here. You have to fight for American principles because there's nowhere else to go. Well, right. Now America is imploding on itself and people are coming to the American Redoubt or the Cumberland Plateau or the Appalachian Redoubt saying, you guys better dig in and get ready to fight for what you believe in because there's nowhere else to go. It's shrinking. Now we're down to redoubts.
Yes, and as I've discussed with you on your own show, I'm of the firm opinion that God has withdrawn his covenant blessings on America as a whole. And the best that we can hope for is that his covenantal blessings will continue on a personal level, a family level, a congregational level, and perhaps a regional level. That's the best that we can hope for.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, I think America is under righteous judgment, and we can only expect God's wrath on our nation as a whole.
Well, if the way he handled his people when they rebelled against him in the past is any measure, we have to say that it's imminent.
I would say so. If you look at the abortion issue just by itself, that's reason enough just in and of itself for God's judgment. But if you also look at the shift in American foreign policy regarding Israel, that's another reason that God would withhold his judgment, because the Bible clearly teaches that nations that bless Israel will be blessed and nations that curse Israel will be cursed. And look at the shift in our foreign policy under the Obama administration vis-a-vis Israel. I am a great friend of Israel, and I think that we basically, with this next presidential election, have our last hope of salvaging a pro-Israel policy. But if we continue down the track we're going, we can only expect God's wrath with that regard.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Segment 4 brought to you by Werkz.com, W-E-R-K-Z.com, custom-made Kydex holsters made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee. Don't forget to use the coupon code RFR and go to Werkz.com to learn more. Our website is RadioFreeRedoubt.com. If you're listening on the go or to an audio that somebody gave you and you're new to Radio Free Redoubt, welcome. My email is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. This is going to wrap up the discussion with James Wesley Rawls from earlier this week. If you're just joining us, this was pre-recorded from Patriot Radio this week when I was covering for Matt Shea. So thank you guys for listening. Now we return you to the discussion with James Wesley Rawls.
Alignment on our views, our expectations of what we can expect in the future. The ramifications of the decisions that our nation has made on all kinds of levels. And it really does come down to the remnant. It's our hope that he will grant us this, because I don't know what other option there is, which is why I embrace the American Redoubt movement, because when I realized that we're past the point of taking back America, that
yeah,
we continue
I'm afraid
to lose
you're
ground.
Right, John. It's one reason why I recommend that not only people strategically relocate to the American Redoubt, but that they also keep their passports up to date, because it may come down to that as well. Who knows? All I can say is it's best to keep your options open and be deep in prayer. And one of the ways you keep that option the options open is to have current passports.
Yeah, and that's assuming that there will be a place to go to. I mean, this is almost, I mean, when you see this, this is a global.
Oh, it is a global battle, and there are precious few countries that I would even consider relocating to, because simply put, if you look at all the different factors of what makes a free nation and a nation that's a godly nation worth living in, most nations fail the test. And whether it's taxes, whether it's homeschooling laws, home birth laws, whether it's gun control, so-called gun control, which is actually civilian disarmament,
right.
Whether
yeah.
it's banking privacy, whether it's a honest and open political system, there's a few countries that fit some of those bills. But very few countries, if any, that would meet all of them. And America really is, truly, one of the last countries on Earth that still has a level of freedom that makes it worth living in, and that has any hope of a turnaround. Because the New World Order is here. If you look at all the different treaties that are in place and all the supranational organizations, whether it's the OECD or, with NAFTA or GATT or any of all the different treaties that are in place, there are so many signatories to these treaties. Like, people say to me, well, Jim, how about South America? Well, I have news for you. Virtually all of South America is now under the Mercosur Treaty. And that treaty normalizes all of their laws, harmonizes their laws, so that they're all equally oppressed.
It really is. And, I hate to say that my own country that I've fought for, I've served, my grandfather came here, to leaving Scotland to come to a free country. He would tear up when he talked about how great America is and how much stake they put in America and America's future, to see how quickly things have devolved. It's mind boggling. But we live in, I guess we have one of the best lifestyles, and that makes the loss of freedom tolerable. But how much longer can our lifestyle continue this way with the economic situation they've got us placed in that's not sustainable?
Yes, unfortunately, we're even going to see our lifestyles degraded, because what goes along with the whole economic New World Order is the destruction of the middle class. And we're very likely to see some very troubling economic times. The current ongoing recession, the recession that never seems to stop, I think really is a depression. And we've actually been in this depression since about 2001, and we're unfortunately just in the early stages of it. And I think Japan is evidence that a depression can go on for decades, and we're just a bit behind Japan.
Yeah. We just had the financial tools, the economic tools to be able to, artificially inflate things to keep our lifestyle afloat.
Yeah, if it weren't for the fact that the dollar is the world's reserve currency, we would have already seen a collapse in this nation. In fact, we would have already seen a global collapse.
One of the other items we've got the last 5 minutes or so, one of the things that they seem to set their targets on is the prepper or survivalist or whatever term they want to use to paint this even subliminal picture of some overweight, frothing at the mouth, person sitting on a pile of guns and surrounded by food and waiting for, you know, with our tinfoil hats, waiting for the end of the world to come. But obviously, we know that's a lie. The way they present it is disingenuous. We do believe in being self-reliant. This scriptural. It is wise. It is it's just prudent. So,
certainly.
And you place a heavy emphasis on that. So talk to that about the need for being self-reliant and in its proper perspective.
Well, self-reliance is crucial because it in the event of a national crisis, it will only be those who are well-provisioned who are going to be in a position to step in and help out when things fall apart. It will only be those who are not worried about where they're going to get their next meal, who are going to have their head up looking at the big picture, and who are going to be in a position to speak up and act if they see a degradation of individual liberty. Everyone else is simply going to be worried about feeding their children. So it is, as you said, absolutely prudent for individual families to be well-prepared, well-stocked. It is high time to stock up and team up and train up because dark days are ahead. And again, it will only be those who are well-prepared who are going to be in a position to make a difference.
Yeah. It is so much easier. This is what I try to place emphasis on, and I really got this narrative from you, and that is, don't look at this being self-reliant or prepared or prepper, however you want to term it, as waiting for the end of the world. It's the end of one chapter. And there will always, and always has been, a recovery, a rebuilding effort afterward. So you can focus on that if you're not watching your children starve. It's to be self-reliant so you can be part of the process, because somebody else already has a plan in mind about what this next chapter is going to look like. If you're starving, you're at the mercy of whatever program they've got up their sleeve.
Right.
And you're not part of the solution.
If you're well-stocked and you're in tight with your neighbors and you have options, that means you're not one of the persons who's going to be forced to get on the train or get on the bus or whatever they're going to call it. You will be someone who has options. Someone who is not prepared, someone who is not well-provisioned, is going to be at the mercy of their environment. And I think that's what it all comes down to. Either you're the master of your environment or you're at the mercy of your environment.
Well, we're seeing that actually. That's once again, we're not talking theory here. If you just go to the headlines of today and see what those people are living through right now in Venezuela.
Absolutely.
It is a perfect real-world example that you can reach out, see, and touch. And those are real people standing in lines, real people being attacked for walking away with a bag of flour or a thing of toilet paper. That's real. And that's just one example of many. It's just if you don't have to be standing in that line because you're back at home because you took the time while you had blessings, while you could store up and stock up, it is...
And well, one of the things that's really important to point out, John, is that saving is different from hoarding. Saving in advance does not create shortages. In fact, by taking food out of the current quite full pipeline that's hitting the grocery store shelves now and setting it aside means that you are going to be one less drain on the system when there is a crisis. So saving now is not hoarding. It's actually helping because every family that stocks up now represents one less family that's going to be rushing to the supermarket shelves at the 11th hour. So instead of being part of the problem, you're part of the solution.
Absolutely. And you can help people that you feel led to instead of, you can actually.
Right. It puts you in the position where you have options, where you can dispense that food as charity. Or if need be, you can barter with that food for other things that you might need. But either way, you're going to end up helping out your neighbors.
There's some really good examples of that. I like how you laid out in your book series, the Patriots book series. And, oh, by the way, also
That's not the only one. Your most recent book, I've started that about four times, and then it's not because of lack of interest. It's because life just keeps happening. But amazing principles that are just so, I want to say they're wise, they're prudent, and they make common sense. They follow principles of common sense. But see, we're dealing with a culture that's really, you know, degenerate, decadent, and spiritually sick. You can't even expect to make wise, prudent choices and have discernment, you know. So, but what you're talking about there, I saw several examples, and we just posted your book too on our Facebook page at Radio Free Readout, Facebook, Patriots. That's what really got me and so many people that I know, it flipped that switch on and put preparedness and self-reliance in its proper perspective. And so I want to encourage people to go check that out. But we just got about a minute left. If you could get your website out there where they can go and learn more about self-reliance and Christian living.
Yeah, yes. My website is survivalblog.com. And it's been published for 10 years. It has very deep archives. It's all fully searchable, and it's all fully accessible without any membership fee or anything like that. Again, it's survivalblog.com. And for anybody who's new to preparedness, I would recommend that they look in the left-hand bar. There's a list of static pages. There's one titled Getting Started. There's also a page that's devoted just to the American Readout concept. In that same left-hand bar.
Yeah, learn about what the American Readout is from the source. Don't get it from somebody who's got a left-wing agenda that is scared to death of anything resembling Christian, patriot, anything. Go to the source. Don't be lied to. Don't be duped. All right, James, thank you so much. James Rawls from Survival Blog. It's a great honor to have you on with us. Look forward to doing it again. So just Godspeed to you and everything that you're doing, and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, and God bless you, John, and all your hard work and all the wonderful things you do, both with your own show and when you get involved in helping out people like Matt Shea, filling in for him. God bless you.
Roger that. God bless you. This is John Jacob Schmidt. God bless all of you. Thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you later on.
Patriot Radio is brought to you by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, and airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. with the replay from 9 to 10 p.m. across the entire American Christian Network.